seated. Aren't you glad for God's grace and all of these things? Grab your Bibles, please. We'll be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're picking up in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. And can't help but to think, you know, we live in this world and all that's going on. I wish I could find something that I could do that would make a difference, right? I shared this morning, I said, at my commencement, I remember when I graduated from high school, we had someone come and give a speech to the graduates, and they told us that, look, the world is waiting for you, right? Go out there and make a difference. Well, I found out the world wasn't waiting for us, right? That we weren't the great hope that everyone thought. And, you know, when I was younger, I was so optimistic on so many things. And yet what I found is as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot more pessimistic. Maybe more realistic, you know. It's amazing how time comes by that it's easy to get discouraged along the way. And what difference can one person make? Now, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, we live in this country, and I can't imagine living in any other country. I love this country. We are given freedoms, and actually, we have a voice. We're coming up onto an election period, and that's when our government asks us our opinion. And if you guys know me at all, I'm a person with lots of opinions. I got an opinion on everything. I got an opinion on things I don't know about. I still have an opinion, right? But our country turns around and asks us for our opinion. And I believe with all my heart, as Christians, my vote belongs to God, and I need to vote as God would have us vote. And I believe this election is really pivotal about the decisions we make and where we're going and what we're allowing. And I believe with all my heart, as Christians, if we stand up and vote as God would have us vote, we can make a difference. But, like I said, I've been kind of pessimistic in my old age. And part of me's nervous. I've had some conversations with friends of mine. And it's like, well, what if things don't get better? What if things are getting worse and worse? And, you know, I'm sure some of you, even within your lifetime, you wonder where we're going. And the speed in which this country is moving further away from God is accelerating. I just saw a statistic the other day that with evangelicals, these are people who call themselves Christians, that only about 2 to 4% have a Christian worldview. That the Bible's true. That there's a right and wrong, that the Bible's to be followed majority. Among millennials, down to even say 6%. Wow. Folks, we're losing the battle. And it's like, oh man, it's easy to say, oh man, what are we going to do? We're going to lose it. And I'm just going to go hide in that corner and stick my head in the sand. And I'm just going to run away. But folks, as Christians, we have a hope that we know God's in control. That I can read the scriptures. And I'm warned. The Bible says days are going to get better. No. Days are going to get worse. I remember years ago talking to a friend of mine, and we had differences in sort of theology, and he believed that, well, what's going to happen is the church is going to grow, get more and more people, and then finally the church will make the world so perfect that Jesus is going to come and set up his kingdom, and we'll have it all ready for him. I'm like, where do you get that? Bible says, look, there's a time coming when men will have itching ears, where they won't endure sound doctrine. So those days will happen when there's a great falling away. The Bible warns that there are going to be churches that are going to go along with the world system and call sin right.
and turn his back on the scriptures. We're warned of these things. We're told that men will be lovers of themselves. I mean, I could go on and on. The Bible tells us things are going to get worse and God's judgment is going to come. As an old pastor, that's really encouraging. Once again, I know who's in control. And I know that even though it's for a season, I know ultimately who holds tomorrow. I know God has a better thing for me. So, you know, you say, well, what if we can't make a difference in this world? What can we do? And I love the scriptures because not only does it tell us, you know, warns us about the future, not only does it tell us what not to do, but the Bible is really encouraging because it tells us what we can do. We can be proactive. You know, not to be hiding in a corner and, woo, woo is me, oh, you know, my candidate didn't win or my policy didn't win. And no, our job as a church doesn't change. As Christians, our responsibilities do not change by who's in power and who's not. Now, it can make it easier or harder, but my responsibility is still to be faithful to God, be faithful to His Word, tell people about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. You know, we talk about the communion. You know, that Jesus' blood and His body was shed not just for me, but for anyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we have a responsibility to be faithful to those things until He comes. And so I think Peter, you know, he talks about this. He's talking to the first century Christians, and they were being persecuted. They were being killed. They were fleeing. I mean, it wasn't a popular thing to be a Christian then. And so he, in light of all this, he tells us what we can do. And what he starts talking about in verse 7, he goes through this quick little list of one another's. I'd done a study once and preached a sermon series. I found 28 different commands that we are to one another. We're supposed to love one another, submit to one another. And there's all these one another's that we're supposed to do. Well, in order to do things with one another, we need to be together with one another. I think one of the hardest parts in the midst of all this COVID is that we got to stay apart. And we're called to be in communion with one another, right? We're supposed to be worshiping and all these things together. And so I think we just got to get creative because once again, our job, our responsibility doesn't change despite the circumstances. We are still called to do these things. And he starts things off with really a sober responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." Right? The end of all things is at hand. Now, this is Peter talking almost 2,000 years ago. We are closer to that end today than he was then. And our responsibility still comes down to, look, as we turn around and we look at the Lord coming back, to be serious. And not stick in the muds. You know, I never understood that. You know, I've been in churches and I grew up in church, and I've visited churches, and I've preached in different churches, and sometimes Christians are just miserable people, right? I mean, they almost look like, you know, you see these, oh, I'm a good Christian, I look like I just drank lemon juice, just like, I'm not going to smile, I'm not going to laugh, I'm not, I remember hearing a sermon growing up, and the pastor said that if any kind of music or anything makes you want to move, it's sinful. So sit there and back up and I'm a Christian. And people are like, hey, I don't want none of that. Right? And as a kid, that just didn't make any sense to me at all. Because God didn't make me that way. Right? I mean, God has a sense of humor. Look at this. This shows you God has a sense of humor. I mean, God made love. He made these relationships. I remember years ago watching, there was a movie of Jesus' life, and they had Jesus around the fire. Because, these guys traveled 3.5 years together.
And one scene, they're up on this mountain, and they're all laughing it up, joking around. They're pulling up, they pulled prank on, I think, Peter. And it was like they're all laughing, you know. And I remember hearing someone say, "Well, man, that's disrespectful because Jesus never laughed." I'm sorry, you get a bunch of guys around a campfire for 3 years, there's going to be a joke. There's going to be, right? We should be the most joyous people. As this world gets darker and we see what's going on, we should stick out like a sore thumb. As the world is so hopeless, we should be so full of hope. So when it talks about it being serious here, isn't a matter of,
"I'm so serious and so pious."
That's not what he's... No. What he says is sort of put your back into the task. Is anyone here a procrastinator? I did this in the morning service, and first, we had two people who were like, and I'm like, come on. And finally, almost half the people went up, right? Maybe they're waiting for the last minute to put their hand up, right? They're procrastinators and procrastinating. I don't know how that works, right? I'm a procrastinator by nature. Now, some of you, my wife's a planner. She makes lists and notes, and she plans ahead, right? But you procrastinators, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Because you get really good at pulling things together at the last minute. It's a whole different skill set. Now, it might take you, I remember doing reports, staying up all night and finishing things on the bus ride to school, right? But you get it done. You know, okay, now it's time to get serious. Now it's time to buckle down. Right? And that's what I think he's talking about here. When he talks to us, look, it's time for us to be serious. It's time to hunker down and realize, because the end is near, as we see these things, if the Lord's truly coming back, I want to be found working for Him. I want to be found faithful to Him at the end. I don't want to be caught slacking off. And so as we see these things, I think as he's talking about, look, as we see the end coming, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers.
People, I get asked a lot, "Pastor, do you think this is the end times?" And I don't know. And some things sure look like it. Right? I'm almost convinced that within my lifetime, the Lord's coming. Because I don't know how far God's going to let this world go before He says enough. Just look at what we're doing to kids. And the morality we're teaching. How can God let, adults making decisions, but what we're doing to our kids is shameful. And so in light of that, Lord, if you're coming, let me be faithful. Let me be praying. The first thing we can do is pray. That's the first action we can do. Pray for one another. Because you know what? You need it. I need it. Right? I'm a firm believer, and I've seen this time and time again. If God has impressed someone on me, and I've prayed for them, right? And it's like, "Lord, you know what? You brought someone to mind. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know why, but I'm going to pray. And I'll pray for them." And God hears that prayer, and God works in those things. And I can tell you, time and time again, I've come up to someone and said, "You know what? I prayed for you this week. I don't know why." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I needed it. Thank you for praying." Right? That's an action. Do something. Be people of prayer. And so many times people want you to pray. Right? When people find out you're a Christian, that you're faithful, do a couple things. One, when someone does that, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" Now, I'm bold. Right? This is me. Some people say I'm loud. I think I'm shy. But times in town here, I've talked with people just walking around and say, "Hey, can I pray for you right now?" And I'll pray for them right there in the street. And people are like, "This is, I don't care. This is my, that's my nature." Some, you may not be quite so bold. But ask people, "Hey, do you mind if I add you to my prayer list?" Now, here's the trick. Pray for them. Don't just seek their name and walk away, but pray for them. Right, and then what I find that it does is that gives you permission to go back and say, "Hey, how you doing around that? I've been praying for you.
How are you doing? And all of a sudden, now you've opened up a communication with this person. And I've never, ever, 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 ever had someone say, no, don't pray for me. I've never had that. And then I've gone back and said, hey, how's it going? I've been praying for you. How's it going? And I had them say, you know what? It's getting better. Okay, I'll keep praying. Oh, wow, okay. And all it does is, this God's real. Right? Or I'm saying, yeah, it hasn't gotten better. You know what? I'll keep praying. I'll keep praying for you. And that's a way to start witnessing to someone, to bring them to God. You see that? It's easy. Anyone can do that. Also, what that does is I've done this, and I have people now that, you know, I've communicated on, even online on forums and stuff like that, who will email me and say, hey, will you pray for me? All of a sudden, now they're seeking me out to pray for them. And I'll say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Because all of a sudden, now you're opening that door up. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. And it's something that we can do. Book of Revelations, right? The end is coming. Read the end of the book. It's going to get bad. And be aware of it. Jesus describes it this way. He says, look, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. That the day comes on you unexpectedly. We're talking about the Lord coming back. For it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray, right? There you go. Be serious and be praying always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Be praying because the day is coming. You know, one of the things that's kind of exciting with this whole corona thing, we've started an online prayer meeting. And some of you have jumped in on that online prayer meeting, you know. It just allows an opportunity during the middle of the week. People won't come out here to the building, but we can get together and pray. And it throws it out there on all Facebook. But be watchful when you're praying so we're not caught unaware. Folks, we may not be able to change the world, but we can impact one life. Right? If I take the whole way, how do I change this nation, Lord? Oh, that's a weight that's way too heavy for me. But Lord, help me touch one person. Let me impact one person in my life. Maybe someone I work with. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's my children. Maybe it's, right? Lord, just all of a sudden this monumental task shrinks down to one person. And how we do that, real quick. Bible says to love one another. Love. Peter says this in chapter 4. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Lord, help me be a person of love. And you know what? You will stick out like a sore thumb in this world, because you know what? This world is filled with hate. It's filled with hate. You know, you guys know I've shared, you know, Facebook, I resisted Facebook. I didn't want to be on Facebook. Then the coronavirus came in, and that's where the people were. So, okay, Lord, I'll minister where I can. And so we thrust ourselves on the Facebook, and I don't use it. You know, you don't care what I have for breakfast this morning, you know, right? You know, and I don't get on there to rave, and I don't go on there to go about my politics. But I'm amazed at the hate that's out there. I mean, I was shocked. And I'll tell you, folks, if we can be light in that darkness by loving, we'll shine for Jesus Christ. The love. And it covers a multitude of sins, right? This is what we need. This love is kind of the grease in the wheels of our relationships. You know, what happens, you know, I always point to a young couple, you know, they want to get married. And I always ask them, why do you want to get married? Because we're in love. Oh, we're in love. It's like, okay, and? And they look at me weird. What do you mean, and? We just love each other. It's all we need. Oh, we just love. And, you know, well, I tell them, I said, there's going to be a day when you're going to wake up and they're snoring in your face and their breath stinks and you've been squabbling for the past couple days. And you're going to wake up and look at that person and your heart's not going to go pitter-patter. And then what? Oh, that'll never happen to us. I said, be careful. Right? Because what happens is after a while, we get used to the good and we start focusing on the bad. And what happens is a matter of love. Love decreases. And I think one of the big issues that we need is to love more. And we'll put up with each other more. You know, I've talked with pastors, and you know, it's kind of an interesting relationship because people with pastors and they're all excited. You know, I always joke around about, you got that new pastor smell. And people are all excited over that. And then after right around 5 years, we're really getting to that point. But my experience has been, once you get about 5 years, that new pastor smell wears off and now you just kind of stink. People start looking at the negatives and what wasn't done, and right? And what's happened? The person hasn't changed. But what's happened is my love has changed. And all of a sudden now I'm looking at the negative. And I'm looking for the criticisms. I'm looking for these things. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, this is the definition of love. Love suffers long, or love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. This is God's definition of love. That's a tall tale. But luckily, God is love, and He comes and dwells in us, and we can love people through Him. Lord, help me to love people. They don't have to agree with me. I don't even have to agree with what they do, but Lord, help me to love them. And let that be my motivator. And I'll tell you, that will open doors. That will open doors because people aren't used to it. If you do something for someone that they can't repay, right? They're always like, what's the angle? Right? And this is where I started that we sort of get skeptical, you know, as we get a little bit older. You know? But I'll tell you, you know, I'm at home and my daughter comes up and jumps in my lap. And she's like, Dad, I love you. And she bats her eyes. She gives a big smile. You know what my first response is? What do you want? Right? Oh, Dad, I love you. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want? What's the angle here? That's how the world loves. Right? I'll love you as long as you're useful to me. I'll love you as long as you love me. You give me what I want, right? The world's love is very selfish. God's love is selfless. Right? I have nothing to do for God, and yet He died for me. I have nothing to give Him. But He loves me. You know, versus my daughter does cuddle up sometimes, and this out of the blue, she'll say, Dad, I just love you. And you dads know. And that big old tough daddy heart just melts. Right? As folks, as if we let God's love flow through us and help us to love. And sometimes it's, Lord, help me to love. I don't love this person. I don't like this person. But Lord, help me to love them as You love them. Help me to see them as You see them. We can make a difference in someone's life. If we love them just because. See, God gives us the ability to love unlovely people. How do I know? Because God loves me. And I am not a lovely person. So God, help me to love others as You love me. Second thing we see is God wants to be hospitable to one another. And this is an interesting term. As we pick this up in 1 Peter chapter 4 again, it says, be hospitable to one another without, what's that last word? Grouching, without grumbling. Yeah, I always love this because you do sermons like this. You talk about, you know, the Bible says love one another. And someone comes, well, I'll love you. I had someone actually do this, come up to me and goes, Pastor, I'll love you, but I don't like you. Well, thank you. You know? Oh, wait a minute. You're missing the whole point. Right? You're missing the whole point. Without grumbling. God has called us to one another, to be interactive with one another. I love the word here, hospitality, because to be hospitable, the Greek word means to be a lover of strangers. Be a lover of strangers. And we've expounded that out to be, you know, people who have people over to their house, people who give, people who are generous. And this is one of the gifts. Actually, you look at one of the gifts of the Spirit. Some people are gifted with hospitality, right? You know these people because you go to their house, and within about 5 minutes, you feel like you can put your feet up on the couch, right? I mean, there are people that you just feel like you meet them, and you feel like you've known them for a long time. Some people are just gifted that way. And I'll tell you, folks, in this world where we're so divided, where we're pulled every which way, I'll tell you, I think this is needed more so than almost anything else that's going on, is that for us to be lovers of strangers, to love people we don't even know. To do and serve other people. To help other people. Right? I'm kind of wired this way. I can't help it. Drives my wife nuts. I'm the guy who, you know, you're walking through the parking lot and you see the person who looks like they're lost, and my first response is like, oh, I want to help them. Right? You know, driving down the road and I see the car pulled over. I'm the guy who wants to pull over. Hey, are you okay? And nowadays with cell phones and stuff, I don't feel quite as much pressure, you know. And one of the last times I did it, there's a lady pulled over. She had her flashes on. The hood was up. And so I pulled over, and I had my family with me, but I came up to the car, and she was inside, and she looked out, and all of a sudden her eyes got this big, and zzz, the window, zzz, and she's like, I'm like, ma'am, are you okay? I'm fine! It's like, okay, I'm not really a mass murderer. I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to walk away. I just wanted to make sure you were okay. Now, but people aren't just used to that, right? I mean, just simple holding a door open for someone. Now, it's COVID, so you got to do it long-armed. Right? But, say, you know, let me hold that for you. And people are like, wow. I said, you know, if, because I'm not a man of many talents. So some of you are really gifted and talented. I'm not. But one of the things I said, you know, if the pastor thing falls through, I think I'm going to develop a job of just walking around Walmart and helping people. Because one of my gifts is God has made me tall. And Walmart is filled with a lot of people who are short. And, you know, we'll go to Walmart and my wife will say, hey, okay, you go away. Because I drive her nuts when I follow her around the grocery store. You know, because I'm like, oh, how much is that? And oh, why don't you get this brand? She's just like, look, I've been grocery shopping now for 30-some years. I can do this. You go take the kid and go away. Okay. So I wander around Walmart, and I can spend the whole time walking around helping people get the stuff off the top shelf. That's it, you know. And I was like, one day, a lady was up. She had a cart, and, I mean, she was a petite little, she was like 80-something years old, and she was trying to get, if you've been to Walmart, they had the soda bottles, and they're up really high on those. And the hinge slid down, so it was like up high, and it was pushed way back. And so she was up on the cart with one leg, and she had the other one on the rack, and she's hanging on like this, trying to reach the soda bottle. And I'm walking by, and there's people all around, they're letting her do this. I'm like, someone stop her, because this ain't going to be good. So I come up and I said, ma'am, can I help you? You're scaring me. And she's like, oh, I got it. I'm like, no, you don't. So she gets down, and she's, you know, this tiny little thing. And I said, well, which one do you want? And she goes, well, you're trying to get the Diet Dr. Pepper or whatever. And I'll tell you, this is how, I mean, I had to go way out of my way. But this is what I did. There you go, ma'am. And she got the biggest smile on her face. And she's like, thank you. I didn't take anything. But I showed her hospitality. A stranger. I'll never see her again. She can't pay me back. I mean, it's not a matter of that at all. But hey, what can I do for you? Kindness and gentleness, all these things come in. And to show these things.
And sometimes it comes out, you do those type of things. And like I said, I'm kind of boisterous, so I'm out there anyways. And there's one point in time we were at Bible school, and we're in a small little town, probably similar to this. And there's this lady, she's at the checkout counter, and she got all these kids, and she had all these groceries. She was trying to get them all. And so I'm back, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she goes, oh, that would be great.
So she grabs like four bags of groceries like this, and she got her kids. She goes out, and like I said, it's a small little town my Bible school was in. And so she gets out the door, and she runs, and I walk up to the counter to see what's left, and she left 2 24 packs of beer. Now, our school had a strict no alcohol policy, and so I'm like, what do I do, Lord? Well, and she's out the door. So I'm like, okay, Lord. So I grab 2 packs of beer. So I'm walking out the store. I'm like, all I kept saying was, Lord, don't let the president of the school by. Don't let the president of the school go by. Please don't. So I got her to the car. She got the kids in, and I got her all in. And she's like, thank you. She goes, I don't know how. Hospitality. Loving strangers. And the world doesn't know what to do with that. She's like, hey, can I pay you something? Can I help? No. God bless you on your day. Jesus says it this way in Matthew. And he talks about this at the end times, that in here there's be judgment. And he says, and then when the king said to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Jesus says, when we do these to the least of his, we do it to him. You know, Jesus was stuck in the grocery store, would we get something off the shelf for him? You know, Jesus was stuck by the roadside, would we? Oh, yes. Well, Jesus says, look, you do it to these people, you're doing it to him. The Bible tells us as well in the book of Hebrews, says, do not forget to entertain strangers, so by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. And this one I have to really try to wrap my brain around, because sometimes I think God tests us and brings angels our ways and to see what we'll do. And I know I've talked to people on the other side of this, because I've talked to people who's in airports and stuff like that, and some stranger shows up and guides them through, and God sends them. Maybe you're God's angel to someone to help them through a mess. Bible says we're to minister to one another, right? Love one another, be hospitable to one another, minister. And minister is both two ways. It's through our words and through our deeds. Minister, just think of it a way as serving, right? God asks us to serve one another. How can I serve? How can I help someone today? Peter wraps things up here. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I love that, because God has given his grace to me and I'm holding it. And when God gives us his grace, we're not supposed to take it and say, hey, it's mine and my precious. It's all, you know. No, God gives us his mercy and gives us his grace that we can, what? Give it to others.
Let them speak as the oracles of God. And even when speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. The words we are speaking, are we using that to minister to other people, to lift them up, to bring them closer to God? If anyone ministers, let him do it as his ability, which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. God has given us each a ministry. You are here to serve others in some capacity. That's part of what we're here for. And some of you are very, like I said, I don't have any talents. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play, I can eat. I know that's a gift. And yet God still wants me to serve others somehow. And some of you are very talented. And God doesn't give you your talents to be used by you. I think of, you know, some of our celebrities who have great gifts and abilities in music and playing, that who use that for their own furtherance. And they're going to have to give an account that God gave them this wonderful gift. And they squandered it on themselves, on their own success and their own things. God gave you these gifts to serve other people with, to edify them. Paul told the Corinthian church is one of these ones that, what about us? And they all want to have, oh, I'm a preacher, oh, I'm a teacher, oh, look at all these really big, important gifts I have. And Paul says, there's no small gifts. If you use it for the Lord, right? And says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, you want gifts and abilities from God? It says, let it be for the edification of the church, for the building up of the church that you seek to excel. To serve others, to minister, to speak words of love and grace to people and lift them up. I can't think of anything this world needs more right now, because it's missing big time. Lord, help me minister. Help me to serve. Let me be your witness. I can't change the whole world, right? We may not be able to change the world, but we can impact one life. The minute we get out of here, is there a way that we can serve someone else? Can we love someone else? Can we be hospitable? Or make someone feel part of the family? And I'll tell you, as we do this, it doesn't matter what happens in Washington. It doesn't matter what happens in Augusta. It doesn't matter what policies are passed. Our responsibility stays the same. To do these things to one another. And I'll tell you, when you start opening up and saying, okay, Lord, today, bring me someone. Let me be a blessing to someone today. What can I do to help someone? What can I do to pray for someone? How can I minister? You know, Lord, you show me. And you'll find what starts happening is God starts sending people your way that need you. And you walk away and say, wow. Wow, God. That was amazing. As you just use me for the furtherance of your gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, you've chosen us to serve you. To serve and reach out to one another in various ways, Lord. Use us. Make us available to be hospitable, Lord. To love, to pray for, to minister through words and deeds. Not for our glory, Lord. Not that people say, hey, how great John is, but that we can point to you, Lord. That we have a hope because of Jesus Christ. And they can have that hope too. Bless us, Lord, we ask. We ask this in your name.